This is CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7 FM, and you are listening to From the Void with me, Christopher Sharon. It's good to see in the void again tonight. All right, well, I'm riding on a buzz right now. Yesterday, like millions of other people here in North America, I got to enjoy a solar eclipse. This was my first observation of totality with my own eyes. And I can't speak for you, but it is all it's cracked up to be. And I couldn't have asked for a better way to do it. I was on the north shore of New Brunswick, facing the Northumberland Strait, just south of Miramichi, and it was incredible. I was there with my mother, my father, my wife, my wonderful little daughter, Mackenzie, and I held her in my arms during totality and allowed her to take a look. And I hope it meant something to her. I hope it spoke to her lizard brain the same way it spoke to mine. Who knows? But it was wonderful. And I don't know how to put it into words. It was just like anything else. It needs to be experienced. There's no video or photograph that'll ever represent what happens in this ancient moment. The moment that represents, to me, the special part of Earth. Now, I don't know how you feel about life on other planets. I'm certain that life is not special in the universe. Your life is special to you, and mine to me, and the people I love. But life, just like the mold growing around your toilet, you know, is not special. It's just, it is. But what makes Earth special is the relationship our moon and our sun have. The perfect ratio of the distance between the sun and the moon and the Earth, and the perfect ratio of the size of the moon in relation to the sun and the distance, creating this perfect opportunity for our eclipse. And as far as I understand, out of all the solar systems we've observed in space through telescopes and whatnot, we have never found a planet with a moon and sun with the same relationship as ours. We've already found evidence of life on Mars. We found evidence of life on asteroids now. It seems to be everywhere we look, there's evidence of life. But a solar eclipse like you get here on good old Terra? I don't know if there's a lot of those around. I mean, based on the math and likelihood, there's got to be some somewhere. But who knows? And to be alive on a planet like this, on a time like this, where the moon and sun are in perfect relationship, because it's not going to last forever. The sun will die out one day. The moon is slowly moving away from the Earth. And the farther from the Earth it gets, eventually, the solar eclipse won't happen the way it happens. Ever again. Anyway, I hope you got a chance to see it. And if not, I hope you get a chance to see one some other time. Because I'm already planning my trip to Alberta in 2044. Alright. So tonight, I picked a bunch of songs that are about the sun and the moon and the eclipse. So to start the show off, we're here with a song that I didn't put on my Pisces show, because I played it before my Pisces show, and I thought it would be in poor taste to go there again. But this is a perfect song for this event. We're going with the Beatles. Abbey Road. George Harrison composition. So you know where we're going. Here comes the sun.
Thank you.
But with this next track, we're going to go with something a little more on the head. A band I love, and as you guys know, I wasn't here last week because I was in Boston checking out Primus, Pussifer, and A Perfect Circle, which was absolutely phenomenal. Kind of concert tailor-made for a weirdo like me who's been waiting for a great concert that you can only appreciate with age. There's a lot of wisdom that comes with Maynard's presentation to his art. And on the surface, it may seem absurd and goofy. If you just scratch below the surface a bit, you might feel a little insulted. But if you take the whole thing in and truly absorb it, what you're getting is a spiritual guidance on par with someone like Christ or Buddha. Now, I know that might be offensive or strange to some people, but that's okay. We all find our spiritual guidance in different places. And Maynard goes through great lengths to not only make spirituality entertaining and funny, it's also eloquent and presented in a way that clearly influenced by so many things I love. Like, he's clearly a fan of Frank Zappa and Pink Floyd and Nine Inch Nails, but he transcends all those things and makes it even more beautiful. So one of those bands, like I said, was Primus. Les Claypool, who is a chameleon in the jazz fusion psychedelic realm, has a band with Sean Lennon, the son of John and Yoko. One of John and Yoko's sons. The loved son. Anyway. They have a couple records. Their second record was called South of Reality. And the title track, South of Reality, is about how much Les really wanted to see a solar eclipse. And his dad didn't care much for it. So here's a song about Les's journey from childhood up until when he eventually got to see a total solar eclipse while in the path of totality. Again, South of Reality by the Claypool Lennon Delirium.
Okay. Unity!
Now, during an eclipse, it's hard not to contemplate the big things, right? Life and death and God. I think about ancient human cultures that would have been completely turned upside down with a revelation of absolute darkness for a few minutes in the middle of the day, and what that might mean. I'm sure people died. I know people died. People were sacrificed. I'm sure of it. You know, I did some research about the Mayan culture. I'm sure I'd find all sorts of weird stuff about the eclipse and different sacrificial type things. So much so I almost wanted to play a Neil Young song tonight. My favorite Neil Young song, called Cortez the Killer. But I felt it was disingenuous because I didn't want to do a bunch of research about a song just to kind of like glue an eclipse theme onto it. But we'll play some Cortez the Killer one day when I probably do a show about brilliant songwriters. And Neil Young is one of the best when it comes to that kind of stuff. But while contemplating the, you know, gravity of eternity, it's hard for me not to think about the original spaceman, Mr. David Bowie. David Bowie left this world the way any artist could probably dream, that you mark your death with an ultimate artistic statement, which was his final record, Black Star. Now, in the song, I'm not sure what a black star really is. It seems to be some sort of a darkness bestowed upon himself, as if he is a black star. A star not deserving of light and warmth and to become one with the universe, almost like he had been cursed. But some may look at it like something unique and special, like the solar eclipse. The black star. So here is Major Tom's final wave goodbye as we all watched him cross the event horizon into forever.
In the filler of all men, in the filler of all men, stands a solitary candle. center of it all. At the center of it all.
Oh,
So profound. So as we think about shadows and moons and disappearing, let's lighten the mood a bit with some Cat Stevens and his wonderful song, Moon Shadow.
As I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land, oh, if I ever lose my hands, oh, I won't have to work no more. And if I ever lose my eyes, if my colors all run dry, yes, if I ever lose my eyes, oh, I won't have to cry no more. Yes, I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my legs, I won't moan and I won't beg. Oh, if I ever lose my legs, oh, if I won't have to walk no more. And if I ever lose my mouth, all my teeth, north and south, yes, if I ever lose my mouth, oh, if I won't have to talk. Take long to find me, I ask the faithful light. Oh, did it take long to find me, and are you gonna stay the night? I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow.
For this next track, we're going with new wave electronica pioneer Gary Numan. Gary Numan's last 25 years or so have been more of an industrial dark offering, completely different than the Gary Numan that everybody fell in love with in the late 70s, and the same Gary Numan that walked away from fame and performing in the early 80s. And I don't blame him. He's got a perfect life and a perfect group of fans and makes just the right amount of money to be able to do whatever he wants without being pulled apart like a pop star. So this is from his newest record. It's called Intruder, and the track is called A Black Sun.
Thank you.
For this next track, we're going to go with probably, I've said this before myself, and I'm going to say it again right now, the biggest and best pop song of the 90s. Now, I know a lot of people would probably say, nah, you're wrong, that this is a grunge song, this isn't pop, but I mean, it was popular. Most people that know the song are sick of it already because they've heard it so many damn times. But suspend that perception for a minute. Realize this song is great. I remember listening to an interview one time with Dave Grohl, and he was talking about how when Chris Cornell invited him into the studio to listen to the song for the first time, he was speechless. He said it was like he was listening to Black Sabbath and the Beatles outdo themselves simultaneously. So of course we're talking about Soundgarden, and we're talking about the hit single off their breakthrough record, Super Unknown, with the track Black Hole Sun.
In my
This next track, we're going to go the complete opposite direction. the most unpopular band of all time, Gong. Now, Gong is a band that I think are massively underrated and hugely influential. I don't know if you've listened to me enough, you know I'm a huge fan of David Allen, or David Allen, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce his name. It's a weird spelling. He's from Australia, got his first big break in the UK as one of the founding members of The Soft Machine, and then was ejected from Soft Machine due to some visa and border issues not being allowed back in the UK, ended up in France, and started the proper David Allen band, which is Gong. And Gong reminds me of the best kraut rock, the best psychedelic rock, the best of the Canterbury scene. Gong is unlike anybody else, and Gong seems to be a magnet for some of the best musicians. Like, you know, like Theo Travis was a sax player for Gong for a bunch of years. You know, and they've had guys like Gary Husband in the band and Steve Hilliage, you know, and there's always world-class musicians surrounding these guys, but yet the music is so bizarre and off the wall, and it's so ethereal and beautiful, and it's just, it's cosmic. It's like the universe and everything all wrapped into one little package and presented in such a beautiful way. Now, I'm sure Gong has some songs about the eclipse, but they didn't come to mind. The song that kept coming to mind for me was more about the clouds. I know a lot of people yesterday got stolen or robbed during the eclipse because they didn't get to watch it because of cloud cover. And I didn't get that. Our sky was almost completely cloudless. There was just a small sprinkling of clouds. Nothing too absurd or absurd to disturb or obscure anything about the experience. If anything, it only added to the experience. So this is a beautiful track. A track to close your eyes to and just vanish into the ether while you get whisked away by Gong off of one of their greatest albums from the Flying Teapot Invisible Gnome Trilogy, A Sprinkling of Clouds, off of You by Gong. Thank you. Well, flies by as always. I hope you guys had a wonderful experience tonight. I love when inspiration like this just moves me. You know, I couldn't help but make a show about the eclipse. It had to happen. And of course, when you think about the eclipse, for me, there's one song, one band, one idea that always comes to mind. And this is one of those albums that, even though it's considered one of the greatest albums of all time, for many reasons, partly because it is, it sold more copies than any original album ever had at this point, and continue to do that for a long time. I think the only albums that have topped it over the years are albums like Thriller by Michael Jackson, Back in Black by AC/DC, you know, but those albums don't hold a candle to this album. The brilliance of this album is almost hidden from the masses, you know, and I can't really put it into words, but the album represents so much more than the surface would indicate. It's about coming of age, it's about being confused and lost, and not really knowing what to do with yourself because you're treading a path unlike anybody else. And you're losing yourself. You're going insane. You're becoming a shadow of the former version of the person that you respected and loved for many reasons. And it all kind of comes back around in itself like a failing, self-fulfilling prophecy where nothing really works. The song represents a loss of identity at the same time as grabbing a footing into an era that is unknown, which is the future, right? So I'm talking about Pink Floyd and their magnum opus, Dark Side of the Moon. I'm going to play the last two tracks, Brain Damage and Eclipse. And Eclipse, I think, is a masterwork in everything. Please enjoy Love from the Void.
On the grass, the lunatic is on the grass, remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. Open many years too soon. And if there is no room on the hill, and if your head explodes with dark foreboding too, I'll see you on the dark side of the moon. Is in my head. The lunatic is in my head. You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door, throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me. And if the cloud bursts thunder in your ear, you shout and no one seems to hear. Starts playing different tunes. see. I'll let you taste all you feel. No.